Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. The prophecy of Isaiah was written, and Isaiah did prophesy for a very long time, but addresses not only the captivity of the northern 10 tribes of the kingdom of Israel to at the hand of the Assyrians, but also projected forward to the coming of the captivity of Judah at the hand of the Babylonians. And it is a reminder, and over again in Isaiah, that judgment comes, and yet the Lord has provided an answer to judgment and a way to be delivered from judgment, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, introduced to us in many ways in Isaiah, the son of the virgin in chapter 7, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace in Isaiah chapter 9, and where it also speaks of him as the Messiah, the son of David, who is at the same time the son of God, and that is the criteria, as I understand it, for the one who alone can be Messiah, is that he has these two fathers, being the son of God via the virgin birth, but also a descendant of King David. And it's been suggested, and it's an interesting thing, even though I know that the chapter headings of biblical books are of man's doing, but that the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, which matches 39 books of the Old Testament, speaks of things going on in Old Testament times, looking forward to the coming of Christ. But then in chapter 40, we have 26 more chapters, like the 26 books of the New Testament that begin in chapter 40 with John the Baptist coming and proclaiming that the Lord that has been promised is indeed coming. And I'd like to pick up the reading in verse 21. This has been a passage that has often refreshed my heart and reminded me of the things that are truly important. We're in a unique time, and my sermon title is When Everything Changes, and we're undergoing a lot of change. He, that is our God, never does. And so please read with me from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth. But he merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? This is God speaking now. That I would be his equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created the stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And we will conclude our reading at that point. As I said, the sermon title today on this Easter Sunday is that when everything changes, he never does. I have an outline that was distributed. I hope you were able to reference it or print it out before our service today. But Easter Sunday is one of those days, in my view, that is a good day to take stock of things, to take stock of our hearts and what dwells there, of our minds and what dwells there, and of our lives as we dwell before the Lord in a fallen world. Easter for me is a yearly reminder, reinforcing a weekly reminder, reinforcing a daily reminder. And what do I mean by that? Well, in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, we often do not make as much of a hubbub about other days like Christmas and Easter, because we understand that the Lord has given us one day in seven, the Lord's Day, in which we are to focus upon Him and be refreshed and find our nourishment from Him. And so we have this one Sunday out of 52 in a typical year that reminds us of the same thing that we proclaim every Lord's Day of the year. And then that weekly reminder is a time when we also have a daily reminder, because we are to pray daily, and I trust that we do. And part of that prayer is to give us this day our daily bread, that the Lord calls us to trust in Him and to be refreshed by Him and cared by Him day by day by day. And sometimes we do neglect to do that. Oftentimes, don't we take matters into our own hands when we ought to be making sure we're on our own knees before the Lord to find His answers and His strength when our knees become feeble and our strength becomes weakened. It is a good day to take stock of our faith. And I, in the name of Christ, want to speak to each of you about that. Do we believe what God has told us? Now is the time that we really need to pose that question, each one in our own hearts and minds to ourselves. Are we trusting God, and are we trusting God today and every day in our lives? It's also a time to take stock not only of our faith, but of our works. We're not saved by works, and yet, are we living by faith? If you, your faith is the kind of faith that God calls us to have in His word of truth, then it will be followed up with the works of faith that all Christians are called to do in service to the Lord. And so do our actions as we deal with the coronavirus, and as we deal with daily life, and as we struggle with the positives. And I'm told there are positives as well as the negatives of social distancing. Are we living in the way that God would have us do? And it occurred to me, and I wrote this out just so that I would say it rightly, that perhaps as never before in my lifetime, and I think all of us might agree, we are united as a world and as the universal church of Jesus Christ in the world. We are facing hard times together. God is no respecter of persons, and neither is this virus that is making the news day by day by day and stacking up the statistics. Everybody is included. For a while, we thought some of the nations of the earth would be excluded and some were doing well, but as time has gone on, more and more we see the statistics build in all the nations of the world. It affects this virus, all of us, believers and unbelievers, men and women and children, those who rule as well as those who are subjects of those who rule. It affects those who are bosses in workplaces as well as those who are workers there. It affects the very youngest to the very oldest, even though I'm told and statistics seem to bear out that the older you are, the more susceptible you become. And so we're on this Easter Sunday, while many want nothing to do with it, we need to hear God as he speaks to the world and as he speaks to us as those who are to evangelize that world. And so my purpose today, Roman numeral 2 in my outline, is to speak to you words of hope, but not hope from the rulers of the nations, but from the creator and ruler of all the nations, our God. Not from the leaders of the churches of the nations, but from the one whose church it is, Jesus Christ's church. He is the head, he is the king. He is the one who is building up his body, which is called his church. And my purpose today is to remind you that when the storms of life come, going back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, that we must rest upon the foundation of the one who never changes. Rulers come and go. God brings them up and takes them out. People come and go. We've been allotted a certain number of days in our life, as Psalm 90 reminds us, and then we move on, and others take our place. And so, what never changes? God doesn't. And so in the third Roman numeral 3 of my outline, I've just given us a list, and I wanted to go over this very quickly. This won't take long, but my intent is to remind you, God's people who are suffering along with the fallen world, whatever God is doing in terms of judgment through this coronavirus, to remind us, thus says the Lord. So what never changes? First, God's presence with us, his promises to us, and his provisions for us are the same today as they were before this all came upon the world scene. His presence with us. I will be with you always, even until the end of the age, Jesus said as he ascended into heaven. His promises to us are all being fulfilled as they have been to date in Christ and are continuing to be fulfilled as we take the gospel to the four corners of the earth. His provisions for us remain, even when it comes to toilet paper and other things that are a little harder to get these days. The scripture says he is the one who cares for you and for me. The scripture says he takes care of his creation. And as Jesus again said in that Sermon on the Mount, he takes care of his creation in terms of the birds in the air and the flowers. How much more will he take care of us, oh, we of little faith? Jesus pointing that finger to each one of us as he needs to do over and over and over again as we serve him. Secondly, what never changes? God's perfection and justice never change. That perfection and justice that is also balanced with his grace and his mercy. God is both of those two ends of the spectrum. He is a God of absolute perfection and justice that will not leave the guilty unpunished, but at the same time, he is the one who loves those whom he has created and the one who has extended his mercy by sacrificing up his only beloved son so that we might become his beloved sons and daughters. Thirdly, what never changes? God's forgiveness of those who repent and turn to him by faith in Christ. His forbearance with fallen man, subject to judgment, but the Lord continues to stretch out his hand, saying, come to me, repent, and be saved. and his faithfulness to his own. And we all know that verse that pierces us very often. Even when we are faithless, he always remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. And if you are one of his children, that applies to you. Fourthly, what never changes? God's word of truth. And God's word of life never changes. And so in this time of struggle, I encourage you to be in your Bibles. I encourage you to read from the treasures of the Lord Almighty himself as he speaks in every single book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, about his love and care for those who belong to him in Christ. As Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be and continue to be people of the scriptures. Fifthly, what never changes? Who God is never changes. As he introduced himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, as the Lord, the great I am, the I will be who I will be. We need to remember what that means. And the best way that I've been able to explain that Old Testament name, oftentimes translated Jehovah or Yahweh, what God says when he means this, he says, there is no point in history from the very beginning until the very end where you can go where God is not there and has always been there and will always be there. He will never fail us nor forsake us. He is the Lord Almighty. He is the triune God. He is the living God. He is the eternal God. As he introduced himself in verse 28 in Isaiah 40, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. In other words, he knows what he's doing. And all that happens is under his providential ordination. He is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Speaking of God the Son in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Just because we're facing something that we haven't faced before in a way that we've never experienced, it does not change that truth. God hasn't changed. God is using this. God is teaching us through this. God is going to sustain us through this, and God is going to use us to evangelize the nations through what is going on every day in world history, including the days of the coronavirus, which our grandchildren will read about and say, my grandparents were there. At least my grandchildren will do that, but I think you get the point. Who he is and remains is the God who is described in the New Testament by four precious, not previous, but precious and critically important words. And I put the verses there in some blanks for you to fill it in. There are four things in the New Testament where it says, God is blank. First, God is a spirit. That's in John chapter 4, verse 24, when Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. Secondly, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Thirdly, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. And he extends that love to those whom he has called into his family through Christ. And then finally, and I see this in a particular way, but today I'm not talking about judgment, but I'm talking about hope. That God is also a consuming fire. That's in the last verse of Hebrews chapter 12. And that's built upon the foundation that judgment is coming, as it has continued to come in each age in one way or another. And we need to understand and we need to deal with that fact and that truth. For all will appear before the judgment seat of God, as Paul says in Romans chapter 3. And so the message of Easter never changes. And that message is the good news of our crucified, resurrected, and ascended Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing's changed because God hasn't changed, and nothing has changed in our responsibilities to do our job as Christians, to proclaim Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who died to save us from everything, including COVID-19. That even though many walk these days through the valley of the shadow of death, if they know Christ, the Good Shepherd, there is no reason to fear. And so, by way of application, until the Lord comes again, we will, and I'm confident of this for this congregation, those who are tuned in to this service today, we will continue to, and in the outline I have some blanks that you can fill in, we will continue to celebrate Christmas. We will continue to understand that in the fullness of time, God brought into the world that Savior that He promised in the third chapter of Genesis as the seed of the woman who would be the salvation of all who would put their faith and trust in Him. Secondly, we will celebrate Easter. Whether we're all able to be here as we're not this year or in future years, we don't know. God alone knows. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning because He has ordained it. But we will continue to put our faith and trust in Christ and in God our Father, who sits on His throne and has always been there, always will be there. And we will trust Him, and we will proclaim Him, and we will tell the world that Christ the Lord is risen. Not only today, but He rose again on that first Easter Sunday, and now He reigns at the right hand of the power on high on behalf of all of us. He is sitting on that throne, even as He is at the same time standing among the lampstands of His church. And He is the one who said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all which I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." And coronavirus does not change that one bit. Thirdly, we will worship on each Lord's Day, whether it's easy or whether it's hard. And I will say right now, as we're continuing to work out the details of this, that putting on this service has not been the easiest of things to do. And I really thank my fellow elders, Mike and Jeff, for their help in doing this. They know a lot more about the technology than I do. But as long as we have opportunity, in whatever form and shape it needs to take, we will continue not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But one day in seven, we will be reminded that Christ the Lord is risen today. Every Sunday reminds us of the message of Easter. Fourthly, we will keep our faith. We will keep the faith. We will believe all these things that we've talked about in the sermon this morning. And because of that, fifthly, we will persevere in the hard times. And this is one of those particularly hard times in all kinds of different ways. Sixthly, we will serve God at all times. Even if we need to stay in our houses, we will figure out ways, whether it be in prayer on our knees, whether it will be in phone calls to those who need a word of encouragement, whether it will be to pick up groceries and drop them off to those who need them, whatever it may be, we will serve the Lord. We will be with Joshua, who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so, seventhly, I hope that Isaiah 40 will move you today. It moved me. Twice God says, do you not know? Do you not understand? And of all peoples, we have no excuse for not knowing and not understanding. We are the ones who do know that our Redeemer lives. And we need to continue to serve him no matter what the world brings to bear upon us. God's word to the world in Isaiah 40 is also God's word to his people, and especially to his people. I just think many of you are familiar with the movie Chariots of Fire, and I just remember, and whether it happened exactly that way historically, I'm not sure, but it was one of the probably the most moving, one of the two most moving. At the end, we have the other moving thing as he's winning the race. I feel, in saying that, I feel his pleasure. But is when he read from this passage in a church on that Sunday when he refused to run. And we had all of the nations of the earth represented in that Olympic arena. And it was all futile. And as I watch the TV and other things and see what people are saying and what people are suggesting, what people are doing, I just see Psalm 2 being lived out. The nations are scrambling right now without answers. And it is to them that the Lord God, the everlasting God, says, have you not heard? Do you not know? We do. Keep the faith. Serve the Lord well. And as I conclude this message, I'm going to introduce another psalm. That is Psalm 34a. I'm going to read this. This is a commitment from me. My way of saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I know my dear wife Barbara and my sons and their families are committed to these things as well. And I'd like you don't need to look it up. You can just listen. But this is what I want to make sure that you don't forget on this Easter Sunday. And I'm going to use the words out of the Psalter because they're fresh in my mind and they have ministered to me for many, many years. At all times I will bless the Lord and praise my mouth employ. My soul is boasting in the Lord. The poor will hear with joy. Oh, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. In all my fears I sought the Lord. From him my rescue came. They looked to him in radiant, were ashamed they shall not be. The Lord heard when this poor man cried, named Marty Wilsey. From trouble set him free. The angel of the Lord encamps around those fearing him, those trusting him. He safely guards, and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Those trusting him are blessed. Oh, fear the Lord, saints, that's you. None who fear will be with need oppressed. The lion's young may hungry be, and they may lack their food, but they who truly seek the Lord will not lack any good. Amen.